The Data Chief is a podcast for data and analytics leaders to share their personal stories and insights on technology, culture, and leadership. Welcome to The Data Chief.
Welcome back to The Data Chief. I'm your host, Cindy Housen. And today we are joined by none other than Ketan Karkhanis, the CEO of ThoughtSpot, a leader in AI-powered analytic. Ketan will share his perspective on how the analytics market is evolving and the shift from traditional BI to proactive agentic intelligence. He'll also share the challenges that companies face in this transition. Ketan, welcome to The Data Chief.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Very exciting.
The Data Chief is brought to you by ThoughtSpot, the agentic analytics platform company that is redefining how the world interacts with data. With ThoughtSpot's intuitive natural language search and agentic AI, every user can access transparent, governed, AI-powered insights when and where they need them. Learn why industry leaders like Cisco, Toyota, Hyatt, and Capital One rely on ThoughtSpot. Experience the new era of analytics at ThoughtSpot.com.
Thank you so much for sponsoring this podcast that's like for 6 years now.
Of course. You're doing a great job. You have some incredible, incredible leaders on the show. And I listen to it and I get inspired by it, whether it's the story I heard about Sephora and then so many of your customers. I mean, it's less about technology. It's more about, look, how do we really take advantage of the technology on behalf of our customers?
For sure.
I think so. That's very exciting. Well done. Congratulations. However, I must say, are you going to resurrect the BI scorecard any day or no? That's not happening.
Well, there is. Okay, so Ketan has known me for a while. I want to resurrect the Gen AI scorecard. That would be really good. But hey, guess what? I'm the boss of this podcast, so I'm going to ask you the questions.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, one thing, Ketan, so you and I spend a lot of time in person and virtually, and I know you spend a lot of time also in the field meeting with our valuable customers. We like to travel vicariously through our guests. So where in the world are you joining us from today, or where will you be with customers when this releases?
I'm in Sydney, and then I'll be heading to Melbourne because, you know, ThoughtSpot has gone global. And now we've got a great presence in Sydney. We've got some incredible customers, Macquarie Bank, you've heard of them. They're one of our largest customers there. There are many, many more we can talk about in a minute. But yeah, I'm excited to be here with the team. We've got an incredible team. And then I'll be heading to, I think so, after Sydney, then I'll be in India. We've got an incredible organization in India, some great customers too. Yeah, so it's always on the road. It's just exciting. It's exciting because you get to listen to the customers. And I mean it. I've got the easiest job because if I just go listen to as many customers as I can, I get the answer to what needs to be happening.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. It's fantastic.
It is fantastic. The customers are the best. And as you're there, I'll also give a shout out to a loyal Data Chief podcast listener, Frankie One team, and congratulate them on their award that they just received. So
congratulations.
Wait for you to meet them. Yeah. And now, Ketan, you've just completed your 1 year mark as CEO at ThoughtSpot. Mm-hmm. A lot has happened in the last year, but take us back a year ago. Why ThoughtSpot? Why then? Why now?
It's a very important question because I think so it summarizes the market in a way. I was in Salesforce before I came here, and I'll tell you, it was the best job in the world because I was running Sales Cloud, which is the flagship product for Salesforce. And I've been in Salesforce 13 years. I've built Einstein. I've done a lot of things. I was having a lot of fun out there and some incredible people and incredible leaders that I got to learn from, whether it's Mark or Parker or anybody out there. But, you know, a couple of years ago, AI has always been there. People think AI started now. Well, no, not really. We've been doing this for a bit. But the generative AI trend that really, I think so, became real. It came out of research papers and it became real a couple of 2, 3, 4 years ago, if you say. And a thought kind of started appearing, and we did this in Salesforce too, is like, whoa, this is not just another technology wave. This is actually a foundational rewiring of the entire technology stack. And to draw a parallel, I'll give you a simple example for some of you, while I'm dating myself too. You remember when cloud started early 2000 and Salesforce had a big role to play in that, everything changed. Everything changed. The B2B stack pre-cloud and the B2B stack post-cloud, radically different. AI is cloud 2.0. This is cloud 2.0, quote unquote. Because to me, the entire stack is going to change. The enterprise stack 5 years from now is not going to be the same as 5 years before. And it's a unique opportunity to rethink, what does the enterprise look like? What does the AI enterprise look like? What does customer experience look like? What does intelligence look like? And all of that is now ripe for innovation. Very rarely, these cycles come 20, 25 years. Well, Cindy, you've been with Gartner. You've seen some cycles yourself. But such tectonic shifts don't happen often. And number two is, when you specifically look at ThoughtSpot, and I looked and then this opportunity knocked on my door. ThoughtSpot has been leading AI for 10 years. You know, they were ahead of the game for 10
years. Yes, maybe even early for where customers' mindsets were, and a little bit of ahead of, let's say, the technology.
100%. Like all good innovation, it's always ahead. And it's always, and I think so, when I put two and two together, and then if you look at the BI market, look, fact is, a lot of the legacy players have stagnated. Some of these players, and I'm not going to name them because this is not a technology conversation. This is, you know, a bigger conversation than that. If you look at them, what they appeared 5 years, go to your BI tool. Here's a challenge to your listeners. Go to your BI tool you use, the legacy ones. And 5 years ago, they looked the same. 7 years ago, they looked the same. You know, it's like you're stuck in this time warp. It's stagnated. And it's the entire BI market is on the cusp of an upgrade super cycle. And when you put all these three things together, I just wrote down one thing. I said, AI is the new BI. And I came over to ThoughtSpot because what better canvas to paint on than ThoughtSpot? 25 of the Fortune 100 are ThoughtSpot customers. It's very incredible. It's very exciting what's happening. But we have a chance to rethink not just BI. We have a chance to rethink apps. The future of applications is now. This is no longer about BI. This is about intelligent applications. This is no longer just about BI. This is about agents that are driving workflows in your organizations. And business intelligence becomes the core of the insights that drive these actions. So long answer, but I'll tell you, it's been an incredible year in ThoughtSpot. And oh my God, we're having so much fun.
It has been an incredible year. I want to come back to a point you made, though, that you took this opportunity. AI is the new BI, upgrade super cycle, but you also referenced Einstein. So I want to make the point or connect the dots for our listeners. You are not new to the analytics market. You have done this elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Did I correct?
Oh, that's correct. Yeah, no, I had the good fortune of working with some incredible people in Salesforce to build Einstein Analytics, which was 2015-16 timeframe, and then it went all the way, and then we acquired Tableau. Wow, what a great idea we had, because we similarly, that was more machine learning, if you may. That was less generative. Generative had not become predominant back then. But this idea of how do we build actionable insights in the flow of work. So Einstein took off really well in the Salesforce ecosystem. We had so much fun building that product. And yeah, so we built all of that. You know, step back. It was very simple. We said that at every given point in time, every business user should have the answer to four questions. What happened? Why did it happen? What may happen? And what could I do about it? And if you can get the answers to these four questions, you kind of good, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So we started there and yeah, it took off. The product was super hot.
I remember those briefings.
I remember in those briefings, you would come to Salesforce Tower or one of those buildings. And one day, oh my God, you read me the riot act on my pricing. Remember you were with Gartner back then? And she comes in and she's like, your pricing's all broken. You're not doing this. And that's the moment Cindy and I became friends. That was the moment we became friends.
It's so much easier and fun to be on the same side of the table, of course. But Caitlin, you also mentioned something about data apps. And when I think about how competitive and how crowded the BI market is, mm-hmm. how does ThoughtSpot maintain its differentiation? You mentioned one differentiator, the ability to build these data apps. What else would you say are the core differentiators?
You know, a good friend of ours who you probably remember, Rita.
Of course. Probably. Rita Salam. Yeah.
When I started long ago, this is not now, this is long ago, but some of those words stuck in my head from those days too. And credit to her for giving me that framework. For analytics, she said that, Caitlin, you're right. There are lots, just like what you said, there are so many players, so many things, so many this, da, 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 da. And she gave me the frame as like, you have to choose, are you JLTB or are you something else? I'm like, wait, what's JLTB? What's that? And she said, just like Tableau, but that's what most players are out there. But that's not who we are. We have taken a completely new approach, a completely different approach. We have rebuilt analytics ground up. I'll give you two very simple examples, one simple and one a little bit sophisticated. Like, you know, how many of you have seen those dashboards with quote-unquote filters on the top? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Lots of filters, pre-programmed by a data expert.
Yeah, and these are filters, okay? And it's, sometimes it's like, whoa, dude, it's like sitting in a, imagine having like 50 buttons to press. Wait, which button do I press? It's like a 747 cockpit. And then you select each filter and then it grinds because it reloads everything. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? You select a filter, you go get coffee, and hopefully you have something when you come back. It's the spinner of death, as some people call it in the language. Why is that? Oh, because every question has to be pre-programmed as a drill path in classical BI. That is insane because you are now expected to know every question a user will ask. And then you're supposed to build a dashboard for it. I mean, that's bozo stuff.
Well, okay. But I have to say that was the tech at the time. And
you needed better tech.
The business, well, the pace of business questions has accelerated.
Huge.
And newer technology enables a different approach.
I mean, honestly, business, this is a question and answer tango. You ask a good question, you get a good answer. You get a good answer, you have two more questions. And then you have two more questions. And then you have two more questions. That's why the approach ThoughtSpot took, like one of the most incredible capabilities we have in ThoughtSpot is our drill to capabilities or our ability to search data, just like you would ask a question. I think so that's a game changer. That's a huge differentiator for ThoughtSpot. Our ability to have real-time insights from any data, anywhere, that's a big differentiator for us. Our ability to not just drive insights via a dashboard, but bring insights into your applications. I'll give you a great example, Cindy. Well, this podcast is becoming about me dating myself anyway, so let's do one more. You remember back in those days, some of your listeners might remember, you would have this TomTom GPS device in your car.
Yes.
Yeah, and then you would have your phone, and then there's a TomTom GPS device. It's like intelligence on the side. And now you have it here. It's guiding the behavior and your calendar, and it pops up when it's needed. Why? You don't even call it GPS anymore. You just call it intelligence. But that's what's happening to applications. Most business applications out there are what we call CRUD. Create, read, update, delete. There's a form, there's a button, you enter some data, it goes forward. It doesn't guide you. It doesn't tell you what's the next best action. It doesn't tell you what to look out for. That's what intelligence embedded in applications is, and that's a massive ThoughtSpot differentiation. And more importantly, I'll tell you the biggest differentiator ThoughtSpot has is our customers. If you go listen to some of those customer stories, I don't need to talk about ThoughtSpot. They talk about ThoughtSpot because they are the real people who are transforming the organization with the technology we give them. And we're just getting started. You know, September, we're launching Boundaryless Enterprise, a completely new way of thinking about BI. Because classically, one always thought about structured data. But we asked the question, wait, hold on. What if the enterprise was boundaryless? What if you could have structured data, unstructured data, giving context and world knowledge, driving insights to every work person in your team? Game changer. So we are launching Boundaryless Enterprise. Come ahead in December, we are going to launch Autonomous Enterprises. So lots to talk about.
Yeah.
I think so. I'm going to have to come on your show again, if you have me.
Exciting times for sure. And you reference Boundaryless, and one of the secret sauces there, if we were to say 2024 was about AI agents, I would say 2025 has been about agent orchestration, sparked also and enabled by MCP servers. So ThoughtSpot launched its own MCP server as well. How do you think this changes the game?
So, you know, think about it this way. Context is really critical. Not just in BI, but in life too. You know, we always are asking, well, what's the context? Show me the big picture. Most humans, we work like that. But this ability to bring context comes via this idea of boundaryless. Now, MCP is a technology which enables it, and Anthropic has done a great job, and we were one of the first BI products to launch an MCP server out there. And it's great. My customers are loving it because now ThoughtSpot has become an AI service you can embed in any of your agents. Let's say you're using OpenAI ChatGPT. Let's say you've built your custom agent. ThoughtSpot can provide AI as a service within that agent. But we are taking it a step further. Because now we are asking the question, wait, hold on. If, let's say you ask a question, hey, show me the top 5 severity 1 tickets for my high-value customer. You know, let's say that's the question you have. And we give you the data for it, customer A, these many tickets, these many open, blah, 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 all good. But what if I also pulled up the tickets from Salesforce Service Cloud and did a sentiment analysis on the content of that ticket and showed it in addition to this data? So now you're not only seeing the number, but you're seeing customer had temperature hot on the last email interaction. Context matters. Now, I can do that because ThoughtSpot's not just an MCP server. Today or yesterday, we are launching MCP Host. And with MCP Host, that just opens up a whole new possibility. Now, you can bring all your apps together. So not just AI is the new BI, Cindy, but AI becomes the only UI you will need.
Yes.
Because now all of these are flowing into your question and answer interface with Spotter. So obviously, I'm very excited.
Sometimes it's kind of like science fiction, how far we've come. And yet, of course, what we still have to do as an industry. But you also mentioned the semi-structured data that might exist externally. So if I have all these tickets and that's in my internal structured systems, but maybe I have something like a McKinsey 50-page best practices report, how to improve resolutions or reduce backlogs more quickly. How can I, is this part of the context that I can feed in?
Yes, exactly. You nailed it. This, see, what you're saying is what everybody, it's incredible how you phrased it because everybody's saying, but I have that there. Why is that not part of my insight? I have that there. Why can't you bring all of this together? Or simply saying, why can't you connect the dots for me?
Yeah.
Why can't you connect the dots for me? And some of these dots are structured. Some of these dots are unstructured. Some of these dots are semi-structured. And some of these dots are things that don't even exist. You need to find out for me. And this ability to do that is what we can do now with ThoughtSpot.
Yes. So, Caitlin, as you mentioned tickets, of course, I have to think about a recent call. You walk the talk. You drink your own champagne. You are a data-driven CEO. So I want to hear how you're using data and AI internally at ThoughtSpot.
Oh, that's wonderful. Sometimes I feel like I annoy my team because I seem to know all the answers when I ask the question and they get annoyed at me for it. But jokes apart, I've got the best team. I'm telling you guys, like, I've got an incredible leadership team. Like, these guys are just like firing on all cylinders. It's crazy how good they are. But listen, I'll tell you, and I mean it. And maybe sometimes I can put out a video or something, Cindy, but like I run the entire company on one dashboard and Spotter. That's it. I don't have 10,000 dashboards. I don't have 50,000 things. I don't have a personal dedicated data person. Like, you know how CEOs have all that? I don't have anything. Like, I just have Spotter and I have one dashboard. And we actually call that thing, it's not even a dashboard. It's an app I use to run my company. And we call it OneSpot. You know, we name everything with Spot, obviously, because ThoughtSpot, get it, like, you know.
Yeah.
So that's OneSpot. And it's great because I run it to not just run my day, but that's how we run our meeting. So when I do my Thursday weekly leadership call, all my leaders are there. We don't have PowerPoints or spreadsheets or anything. That meeting, you cannot bring any of that. You can at the most open up OneSpot and talk about whatever we want to talk about. But we use it not just in those meetings for our leadership conversations. It's guidance across during the meeting. I'll tell you, yesterday I was sitting down with our incredible CMO, Micheline. I was having my one-on-one with her. And we were not in the same room. I was somewhere else and she was somewhere else. And we were on a call like this. And she was telling me about how great pipeline is. Pipeline's through the roof. Like right now, it's just crazy hot out there for ThoughtSpot. And while doing the pipeline, I was like, I asked Spotter, but show me how ANZ is doing for this segment. And Spotter answered that question for me. I was like, oh, now it's very context. Like when we sit in a forecast call Monday morning, Spotter is in the room with us. You know, I have my CRO, my COO, all the sales leaders, but Spotter is right there and helping us answer these questions. So It's as a CEO personally, I find it like it has allowed me to be more precise in my conversations. It has allowed me to ask better questions, but it's also allowed me to help my team think about what kind of customer experience we want to give, because now we are using it every day to run our business. Yeah, I would love to show it to you someday.
Yeah. And so it sounds like for sure, as you work with CEOs and you advise them, you would tell them no blessed PowerPoints, static, anything, real time. Anything else that you would advise CEOs or CDAOs supporting them, what would you tell them?
You know, sometimes all of us are really smart people. And I'll tell you, very simply, don't let perfection be the enemy of progress. That is where I see most people. I wouldn't use the word stumble. That's a harsh word to use, but slow down. And then slow down sometimes results in stall. And stall sometimes results in, well, nothing's really happening. So what I mean by that, look, when we started, like, do I have all the metrics beautifully defined, KPIs beautifully defined, and every part of my data and business perfectly articulated in one spot on day one? No, I do not. But that's okay. Perfection cannot be the enemy of progress, especially with AI. But two is culture. I think so. These two, and perfection, and I mean, it's part of culture. You know,
yes.
I'm giving you a characteristic of the culture, if you may. But let's zoom out from that and talk about culture, because I feel like, and we experience this, Cindy, you sit in so many of my meetings. We have experienced this, right? When you tell something, like when we were trying to use data for our meetings, you have to have a culture of, you know, you have to walk the talk. I have to show up to that meeting with one spot, and then my team does it. Or two, we have to have the culture of trust. Do you know, Cindy, that I have made OneSpot, everybody in ThoughtSpot has access to all data, all our book, like we want everybody to have access to data. The culture of allowing what I call experimentation to flourish, because that is important. There's a lot more every organization. I would say that don't try to build a spaceship every day.
Yeah, I love progress over perfection. The culture part, of course, it's fear if the KPIs are not performing the way somebody wants. and what you do. So how do you investigate the low performing KPIs so that there is not fear, but rather that learning? Those are all great points, Caitin. The other thing, besides using ThoughtSpot and drinking your own champagne, you have some mandates around the company being an AI company across all functions. What can you share publicly about some of the AI tools we use and the benefits that they've delivered or we expect them to deliver?
Absolutely. But first, I want to tell you a mistake I made on the AI journey, because I made one. And I'll tell you, the mistake I made is, like, you know, like every CEO out there, we get excited. We're like, oh my God, let's go be an AI company. Let's go do it right now. You know, why aren't we doing this? And you get excited, you tell your board, and, you know, you get into like all those things. And then it's like, wah. It's like not much is happening. Because I realized my mistake. And the mistake I made was, wait, hold on. This is such a tectonic shift. We need to first invest before we expect to get outcomes out of it. And the investment that is needed is not much. It's simply in educating people. One of the first things we realized, and I said, like, the minute I realized my mistake, we retooled this. And we're like, no. Let's not worry about what we are going to do with AI. Let's first think about, what is it? Let's learn about it. Let's educate everybody. And when I say everybody, I mean everybody. So in ThoughtSpot, we ran a program, which is, that was the mandate, generative AI training for everybody, a very well thought through program of 3-4 hours, async, sync, both, a Slack channel where people collaborated on what they learned. But everybody in the company, whether you're an engineer, a salesperson, an executive assistant, the leader of our facilities, no matter what your title is, no matter what your function is, no matter what your country is, you have to finish this training in the next 30 days. And we did that. And the minute we did that, bottoms up use cases started popping up. I'll give you two great examples. Our legal team, General Counsel Travis, do you know he's one of the most avid users of AI in the company?
Yes. Who wants to read those 100-page, legal briefs? Not me.
He comes running one day. He's like, Caitin, I figured it out. I'm like, what, Travis? He's like, I have sped up contract review by more than 30, 40, 45% sometimes. I'm like, whoa, Trav, how did you do that? Did you hire like 50 more people? He's like, no, I hired AI. And he's written his agent, his paralegal agent. He learned it. He wrote it. Technology is available. And that's going through it. I'll tell you, our incredible engineering leader, Hema, in India, she's our senior vice president and an India leader. She had this unique thought process of, wait, we should do a hackathon to figure out exactly what does the modern AI engineering organization look like? And you see a lot of people throwing numbers like 30% of our code is written by AI and all that stuff. That's fine. That's just one aspect of it. What we have focused AI on is increasing innovation velocity. Time to prototype, how fast we can prototype, how fast we can ship, how fast we can triage. And we are using AI across the board for that. I'll give you one more example is our sales team. So, you know, in engineering, you have this concept of 10X developer. You've heard of the 10X
yes.
engineer, like you've heard the 10X engineer, right? With AI, we are making most of our engineers 10X engineers, which is incredible. I always say AI plus you is equal to a super team. But our sales team has now come up with a plan for 10X sales rep. How can you 10X the sales rep? And in all of these things, we are not talking about cost or OPEX or everything. We are using AI to amplify our impact and the speed at which we can execute. Because guess what, Cindy? I'm competing with whom? Tableau. They have 10,000 people. And we can do it, and we are winning, because AI has given me and my team an asymmetric advantage in this market. So it's very exciting. But first, I had to make a mistake and then learn and then kind of go fix it. So it's okay if you guys have made a mistake. Just go fix it. It's fine.
Experimentation, progress over perfection. But the fact that you even highlight legal and marketing, for example, I think the approach that was also unique. So let's also recognize, if I take data from a year ago, 84% of Americans, we do not have global data, but 84% of Americans fail basic AI literacy. Mm-hmm. And this is now the pace of innovation has accelerated, but you and Kim, our head of talent, took a unique approach to contextualize it mm-hmm. for each function. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just, hey, go learn this LLM.
No.
It was, how does it apply to my job?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. And it's became the core part of our learning program that Kim and HR team runs. And I think so, this is the big message I might have for all of you is you have to invest in educating your team. Don't expect them. You can't expect them to Google their way through life.
Yes, or ChatGPT or Claude our way. Yeah, yeah. Who has time for that? Yes.
You have to educate, and it feels like such a simple thing, but it will be the profound unlock in your organization. All my best ideas are not mine. They're coming from my team.
From the team and from the customers. So let's shift a little bit and recognizing we can't talk publicly about all the customers we would want to, Caitlin. So tell me about a customer that most surprised you with their use case that would listeners could relate to.
I'll tell you a couple of examples. You know, number one, let's maybe start with EasyJet. And they are in Europe, a low-cost area airline, and very good customer service, very good customer experience. And they had this amazing, simple use case of how do we avoid cancellations and trips and time. And they had all the data in their world. They had all the tools in the world, but they were not being able to deliver on that business outcome. And I think so what surprised me the most was the ability of that team to focus on, it was not about our technology, it was the ability of EasyJet to focus the entire project on business outcomes. Because very quickly, I see most of us, including a lot of my customers, it starts becoming like a systems conversation and a technology conversation. And very quickly, you're talking about feeds and speeds and dimensions and measures and this and that and this. But EasyJet, such a great customer, so customer focused, made it a business value conversation. And I loved it in that. I'll tell you another example here closer to the US, Navan. How they took a simple thing but a seemingly travel and booking concept of app, and they brought intelligence to it by allowing every company to now have embedded AI so that they can stay on top of their travel and expense policy very quickly and very easily. I mean, that was incredible. You can go on and on. The most common surprise I have, if I tie all these stories together, is how hungry organizations are for actionable insights, despite of having so much of legacy tech. And I don't think so. It's a people problem. It's the problem of those old tech. It's like people are using flip phones. You know, BI, legacy BI is like a flip phone. And you have to like press plastic keys to write a text message. And it's just not effective. It's not working.
Yeah. And those are all great case studies and customers, of course. You know, some would say to me, Cindy, it's easier for some companies also because they have less technical debt. Mm-hmm. But if I think about an industry that certainly has tech debt, maybe automotive. Do you want to share one of our newer automotive customers? Do you want to share a little bit about that? What was unique?
Oh, which one? You want the one in the US or you want the one in the Europe? Like, which one do you want me to talk about? No, I'll tell you about Keyloop. But again, this is a very exciting company and they are building capabilities for retailers across the world. And they have now embedded AI and analytics in their experience. The Keyloop app is now an intelligent app. And now retailers have access to the most relevant insights about their customers, about the products, about the inventory at their fingertips. Now, it sounds simple, but they have replaced what was earlier. Like, it is so liberating for a retailer to have all that insight. But you know the best thing that has happened? It has strengthened the relationship Keyloop has with its retailers, with those customers. because now they get this tremendous value added insights as a part of the application. So Keyloop is doing great. Closer to home, Tekion, I think so. They have done something similar out here. They are the CRM for automotive, if you may. And they have also transformed their experience with ThoughtSpot.
Yeah. So significant hard business benefits when we think about on-time flight performance and happy customers, or automobile retail winning business there by delighting customers. And yet a lot of data leaders get stuck in being measured on least cost to serve, or it's just the soft benefits of faster time to insight.
Right.
As you think about how you also fund your data and AI investments, as a CEO, what would you advise CEOs how to measure their data teams? And what would you tell the data leader to aspire or ask their leadership teams for?
It's not about AI, it's about ROI. And I know sometimes ROI seems like a big word, seems like loaded and a long conversation, but I would say that pick use cases that are tangible and are connected to a customer experience to begin with. And that could be as simple as how do we accelerate NPS? Now that is a business outcome.
Yes.
To do that, you need data, insights, actionable insights, and now you need agents to help you drive that. But what you're doing is not deploying dashboards, is not saying, I will stand up yet another lake house with an outhouse and a boat. I don't know where these terms come up from. Like, these are just so complicated. All I want to do is accelerate my NPS as a CEO. That's all I want to do. Can you help me do that? But measure your CDO, CEO, not measure, challenge them. I will tell you, they will love you even more. They will be so excited. Because this is what data is meant to do. So the minute you connect your data team to your business priorities, your CEO priorities, accelerate NPS, reduce time to serve, or whatever, you will have so many. Your data team will not just love you, they will be so inspired and motivated, and they will deliver that for you and your business users. But yeah, that's my suggestion. Pick something that can quantify.
Yeah. It certainly would elevate the impact and the role of these leaders. Kate, you already covered so much ground on agent orchestration, on MCP servers, and upgrade supercycle. Any other emerging trend that is on your radar?
I think so. We are knocking on the door of autonomous enterprises. And I know it may sound a tad bit intimidating, but hear me out. I think so. For too long, enterprises have been constrained by workflows that have been manual, static, and more importantly, cookie cutter. We are entering an age of hyper customized business workflows. And workflows that are designed for the moment for that particular use case. And I think so, you know, a simple way of characterizing an autonomous enterprise is, you know, previously we would think about, hey, give me a dashboard. Then somebody would look at the dashboard and look at the data, then figure it out, and then figure out where to go to take the action, so on and so forth. Now imagine an agent that not just tracks your customer cases, customer sentiment, incoming opportunities that your sales team is working on, figures out that, oh boy, this customer is probably not in a happy state, automatically adds that customer to a nurture campaign with your customer success team, automatically puts that customer on the invite list to the next event. I'm coming up with actions, but
yes,
you get the point.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you as a human being, I'm so sorry, I get excited by this, Cindy. I get super excited by this. But like, and then you as a human, right, you focus on what humans are really good at, is building those relationships, is making judgment calls when technology fails. Leave the mundane to the machines. And I think so the exciting part for this future is going to be every worker, all of us, we're going to have like these 10, 20 agents working for us. you are going to have 10, 20 agents working for you, Cindy. And some of them are going to be like these central agents. Some of these are going to be custom agents, which are only for Cindy. But all of these agents together, you're going to be surrounded by your own personal team of agents. And you and that team of agents together, you're going to become a super team. And that's going to happen. And I'll tell you what I'm actually looking forward for in that future. I feel extremely optimistic about this future. Is because A, we are going to elevate people. We're going to have a better work-life balance. But more importantly, I think so it's going to create even more opportunities for every human being. Because I'm talking about business, Cindy, but scale back. Can you imagine the impact of this on society?
Oh, for sure. Health, yeah.
On yes. education? Like, we are barely scratching the surface, Cindy. And that's why ThoughtSpot is such an exciting place to be, because we are not just using this technology. Very soon, you know, our mission, if you go to our website, our mission is to make a more fact-driven world. We actually think data and AI, the business part is very interesting and we talked about it and that's great. But the more real exciting part is, what are we going to do about this for our society?
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
It's exciting. I get excited working with the customers, reimagining these legacy work processes. How can we do it better, faster, more efficiently in the future? It's very inspiring. Katen, we've covered so much ground on data, AI, culture. We're going to switch to a fun lightning round.
All right, let's do it.
Beyond tech, what's a quirky hobby or interest of yours that might surprise people?
I like to cook.
Oh, okay. What do you like to cook?
I let YouTube decide. But the thing is, the feed rules. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you just let the feed scroll and then you see something and you're like, that.
Okay. Hate to break it to you. Next offsite, we're all cooking together.
It's kind of exciting.
I like that. How about a book or podcast that has had a big impact on your leadership style?
Oh, it's hard to pick one book or one podcast, but I'll tell you, many books have helped me fix my flaws. And I'm a very flawed person. But for example, I'll tell you a book that always inspired me was Team of Rivals, Lincoln's biography. That was really good. A book that inspired me was Building of the Panama Canal, The Path Between the Seas, on how to navigate complex, massive engineering cutting through continents. I mean, our job is not that hard, you know. They actually cut through a continent. I'm always a big reader I'm fascinated by history, so I read a lot of history. This might be provocative for your show, but I've also liked reading about Genghis Khan. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that part of him, and then there's the part about how it was the largest empire. And when you had to go around in horses. So very interesting. Lots of conversations inspire me. Podcasts, I listen a lot. Not like it's hard. These podcasts are becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's hard to listen to an entire podcast nowadays. Like, I can't 3 hours, but I listen to a lot of Lex Friedman's got a good podcast. I listen to him nowadays a lot. But I also leave myself open to what I call serendipitous discovery. Mm-hmm. Just by nature, I'm curious. So if you send me something, I'll be like, oh, let me check it out. I rarely have a predisposed notion.
That's quite a good range. And we will link to those in the show notes. Katen, I'll let you choose the final question, depending on your mood in the moment. Either, what are you most grateful for? Maybe beyond the obvious of health and family. Or what's the happiest memory you've had from the last week?
I can tell you the happiest memory from last week. My son was here home for summer and he left for school last week and we dropped him off at the airport. And the way he hugged me this time was very different than the usual hug. It felt like he's grown up. He's now a sophomore in college. But it just felt like he's not that kid anymore. He's grown up into a very good young man. And both Pooja and I, Pooja is my wife's name, we felt it. And then we were very happy driving back home.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. We know when they go back off to college in the fall, it's a good time. It's also an emotional time. Caton, thank you for all you do for our industry and for sharing your insights on the Data Chief podcast.
Oh, I'm so grateful you could have me on the show, and keep doing what you're doing, Cindy. I mean, you bring so much good provocation and conversation to this industry, and you've done it for years. You've done it before AI. You've done it before all of these things, and now you're leading this AI narrative and conversation. So please keep doing what you're doing. We love listening from you.
I will do.
Thank you for joining the Data Chief as we explore data and AI leadership. To continue your journey, subscribe to our podcast on your preferred listening platform and connect with me on LinkedIn or X at BI Scorecard. If you are loving this podcast, please rate or review it so others can also discover the podcast.
The Data Chief is brought to you by ThoughtSpot, the agentic analytics platform company built for everyone to create personalized insights, drive decisions, and take action. Learn how companies like Lyft, Brambles, and Navan are leading the way at ThoughtSpot.com.